This week on Sports and Stuff, the Milwaukee Bucks are NBA champions for the first time in 50 years. I'll discuss and break down the NBA Finals between them and the Phoenix Suns. The Red Sox and Yankees squared off over the weekend. I'll discuss that series. And a children's TV legend takes over this week as guest host on Jeopardy. All this and plenty more coming up on Sports and Stuff, presented here on Exquisite Podcast Radio Network and sponsored by Magic City Highlight.
Your number one internet radio station.
Exquisite Podcast Radio Network. www.eprn.us.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Sports and Stuff. Glad you could join us this week for another edition of the program. I'm John Meisner. Glad to be with you as we finish the month of July for this month here. Hope everyone's enjoying their summer and being safe. So as we start the show this week, as always, want to thank our sponsor, Magic City Highlight. We'll be hearing from them a little later on the show about our Magic City head-to-head recap of the week. But first, we're going to talk a little Red Sox-Yankees to start the show here this week. Great series over the weekend, really, for the Red Sox, but more for the Red Sox than the Yankees. But the last game in that series on Sunday was the game of the year. Oh my God, what a game it was for both teams. Domingo Germán had a no-hitter going into the eighth inning in that game. Alex Verdugo for the Red Sox broke it up in the eighth inning, and not only did he break up a no-hit bid, but that knocked Germán out of the game. And as soon as Germán came out, the Red Sox scored five straight runs, and I think they had five consecutive hits in a row at one point. They just kept coming hit after hit after hit, and ultimately came back and won that game after almost getting no hit. They come all the way back to win 5-4. Incredible game. It's just that's definitely the game of the year for the Sox and Yankees. To go from almost a no-hitter to a comeback like that, when the Red Sox looked dead for the first seven innings, just incredible. And with that, the Red Sox have the most amount of come-from-behind wins in baseball this year. As I'm currently recording this, they have 33 come-from-behind victories. They had 32 as of Sunday, and then 33 with their win against the Toronto Blue Jays to start this week. So they have the most amount of come-from-behind wins in baseball. This team is just never, ever out of it. And Alex Cora seems to push all the right buttons. He's made the right lineup changes, especially over the past week or two, after the Red Sox actually lost 2 out of 3 to the Yankees up out in Yankee Stadium. And that was frustrating because the Yankees have a lot of players who have been put on the COVID-19 list, so they're very weak right now. They already were kind of weak to begin with this year, but they're even weaker with a lot of players being on the COVID list. And the Red Sox were unable to take 2 out of 3 from them, and I was disappointed from that personally. They should have at least taken 2 out of 3 or swept them. They were unable to do that. They were on the verge of only getting a split over the weekend had they not come from behind on Sunday, but the fact that they did come from behind says a lot about this team, and they were ultimately able to take 3 out of 4, but just incredible from top to bottom. I mean, it's like Verdugo just completely woke up that team's offense once he got a hit. I mean, it was incredible. Verdugo's been swinging the bat a little bit better lately. He had been scuffling, but he's made some adjustments at the plate, and he says he's not putting too much pressure on himself, which is nice. He's you know, he's just trying to focus on you know, certain pitch in a certain location, and it seems to have helped him. And, you know, there's not as much pressure on him because of that, so that's nice. But boy, the Yankees have not been having a great season this year. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I really don't. The starting pitching hasn't been bad, but the offense has just been very weak, and their bullpen's not that great either. So I don't see them making it. I really don't. I'd be surprised if they did. Heck, I think the Toronto Blue Jays have a maybe slightly better chance of overtaking the Yankees in the division and at least competing for a wild card spot than the Yankees do. But it's really a two-team race. The Red Sox and Rays, they're neck and neck. They've got a lot of games coming up over the next few weeks and over the next couple months, so it's going to be a battle between those two. It's going to be really exciting, for sure. So I just had to start the show off by talking about that. What an incredible come-from-behind game that was. You know, the offense woke up, the fans came to life and put pressure on the Yankees. And it, you know, it really made up for the game before, because the Red Sox actually blew a lead to the Yankees. They were up 3-0, and Nathan Eovaldi was pitching a beautiful ball game into the eighth inning, but he couldn't finish the eighth. He couldn't get the third out of the eighth inning, and then Adam Ottavino came in and gave up a huge two-out hit to give the Yankees the lead, and that was crushing. The Red Sox gave that game away, and you know, they were on the verge of losing another one, even getting no hit the next day. But they did to the Yankees what the Yankees did to us. We came from behind and beat them. That was pretty sweet. It was just such an awesome game. Incredible game to watch. Definitely the game of the year, for sure. Now, I was actually home to watch it, too. I wasn't out driving for DoorDash. It was on a Sunday afternoon, so I got to see it. So that was exciting. So anyway, the Red Sox currently lead the American League East to start this week off. And got a series against the Blue Jays. Got a lot of games against Tampa, like I said, coming up. So those are going to be really, really big games, for sure. And speaking of the Toronto Blue Jays, for all the Blue Jays fans out there up in Canada, they're very happy that they will eventually be going back to their stadium, the Rogers Centre up in Toronto, for the first time since 2019. They've had to play in a number of different ballparks because of the COVID restrictions during the pandemic. They've been playing in Florida, they've been playing in Buffalo, their spring training facility. They've played in like two or three different ballparks because they're not allowed up in Canada for the time being, but that's about to change within the next week, so that's good for them. It's nice that baseball will be returning to Canada, so it's good for the Blue Jays. You know, I bet they miss it. You know, they've practically been on the road all season, and in last season too, in the shortened season, so they really haven't played a real home game in 2 years. So it's good for them. I'm actually kind of happy for them that they'll be going back home soon, their real home, you know, in Toronto. So so good for them. They'll be a lot more comfortable, and who knows, maybe they may even make a push for a wild card spot. It's going to be interesting. I definitely see them being a factor down the stretch. I don't see the Yankees being a factor, I'll tell you that. Red Sox and Rays will battle for the division, and Toronto's going to probably make a push at one of the wild card spots, but I don't know how close they'll get. Well, should be interesting. They've got some guys that can hit. They've got Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Biggio as well. Craig Biggio's son, of him. And another baseball news: the Tampa Bay Rays make a big splash over the past week. They acquired Nelson Cruz from the Minnesota Twins. It's amazing that Nelson Cruz is even better now that he's older, which is kind of an ironic twist, because most players kind of deteriorate as they get older, and Cruz has actually gotten better with age. It's like fine wine. So he's actually been hitting more home runs than he's been older, and definitely a big bat that the Rays have added, which they haven't done in past years. So interesting to see them do it this year. It'll definitely help boost their offense, and it's like I said, it's going to be such a good race the last couple months between the Red Sox and Rays. It really is. It's in that division. So we got that going on in the East. The White Sox still lead the division in the Central. And the Astros and the Athletics are going back and forth in the AL West. I think the Astros still lead that one. Interesting as it gets close to the trade deadline, what moves could be made and what players may be on the move. I could see Craig Kimbrel possibly leaving the Cubs because they're not really in a position to make the playoffs right now. And although he is having a great year, I wonder which team with not the greatest bullpen, or the team that doesn't have a closer, could really use him for a couple months. Maybe the Phillies? He would stay in the National League, so that's a possibility. Had Matt Barnes not been having as great of a season as he has had, an all-star season for the Red Sox, then you'd be talking about the possibility of Kimbrel coming back to Boston, which would have been would definitely be a hot topic on sports talk radio had Barnes not been having a good season. But being that Barnes is pitching very well for us, it doesn't look like that'll be a possibility. But they'll still probably think about it, but probably not gonna get anywhere with that. So he could be moved. Yeah, you know, I love when it gets to the trade deadline, sports, and even in the off seasons. You never know what's going to happen. You don't know which players are going to be moved or what's going to happen. But speaking of players, you know, signing contracts and whatnot and moving to other teams, I'll switch gears for just one quick second. For the Bruins, for hockey, Taylor Hall signed a four-year deal this past week for $36 million. He re-signed with the Bruins. I'm so happy he did that. He's such a good player. Fit in very nicely. Was very comfortable playing in Boston. Definitely rejuvenated his season after just an awful season with the Sabres after coming to Boston late in the year. So good for him. You know, he's where he belongs. He's on a winning team. So it's nice to see that he'll, you know, he'll stick around for a while. So I'm happy for Taylor Hall. Yeah, he was actually scoring pretty consistently in the playoffs for us before we lost. So, good for him. Glad the Bruins were able to get a deal done. So, we'll take a break here on sports and stuff. And when we come back, I'll talk about the NBA Finals and recap that series with the Milwaukee Bucks finally winning a championship for the first time in 50 years. We'll be back with more sports and stuff after these words.
Proud sponsor of sports and stuff. Harold's Ice Cream has over 400 original flavors to select from. Best of all, Harold's is kosher certified, no moo or artificial ingredients. Harold's also makes ice cream cakes with real cake centers, and they also ship their frozen treats to customers. Harold's Ice Cream makes treats like frozen yogurt, sherbet, brownies, cookies, pies, and cakes. Harold's does it all to satisfy that sweet, healthy treat craving. They cater events for 70 people or more, and they ship their kosher treats by mail. Call Harold's Ice Cream today at 413-586-9700 and visit harolds.com. MVMT is the affordable brand for men's and women's watches. Go to MVMTWatches.com and browse through the bestseller collection, all of the watches, sunglasses, wristband straps, and watch-related accessories. It's not surprising that MVMT offers free shipping worldwide to their customers. Sign up for the newsletter at MVMTWatches.com, read the MVMT brand story, and get caught up on the brand. Premium design at a fair price.
We are back. Sports and Stuff continues right now on EPRN, all other media platforms. Wherever you're listening doesn't really matter to us, just as long as you're tuning in. And feel free to download the EPRN app if you get the chance. We've got a lot of great podcasts on our network, including, you know, Sports and Stuff. So we'll continue on here. I'll talk about the NBA Finals a little bit. The Milwaukee Bucks finally win an NBA championship for the first time in 50 years, since going back to 1971 when Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was on that team before he went to the Lakers. And good for the Bucks. You know, I'm happy for them. You know, Giannis Antetokounmpo definitely deserves a championship. He was a beast for that team. He has been a beast his whole career so far, but especially in the playoffs. Had 50 points in the clinching game in Game 6. They were just feeding him the ball down low, and they just didn't have an answer for him in Phoenix. A lot of teams haven't really had an answer for him. But still, he is one of the best players in the game. Some people think he's the next best player after LeBron. He's like the second best, only to him. Yeah, they call him the Greek Freak for a reason. You know, definitely deserved the NBA Finals MVP award, and just a really, really good team that, you know, I'll be honest, I didn't think they were actually going to come out of the East. I kept saying it on this show. I thought their defense was vulnerable, but it didn't prove to be as bad as I thought it was. It actually held up, and that team did has too explosive of an offense to settle down. I thought once the Suns went up 2-0, being that they have such a young and up-and-coming team with, you know, Devin Booker and Chris Paul as their veteran, I thought they were going to take the series. But after they went up 2-0, they lost the next four straight. I mean, the Bucks just, as soon as they went down, they came alive is what they did. They just woke up and just went to work. And the Suns tried, but they just couldn't quite finish the deal. But, you know, the Suns have nothing to be ashamed of. I think that team is going to be a force to be reckoned with in the West for a long time to come. Now that Devin Booker actually has some players around him that can, you know, win games, they'll be back next year. They'll definitely be a contender, for sure. You know, it'll be interesting to see how they battle a good and healthy Lakers team in the Western Conference. So the Suns have nothing to be ashamed of, but again, all credit goes to the Bucks, and it was nice to see them clinch at home in front of the fans. The fans loved it, you know. It was a party in the streets of Milwaukee. But I have to be a little critical for one second, not over the Bucks themselves in the way they played, but in their championship parade, it's ridiculous. I saw it on the news. The bus driver was driving way too fast. Okay, why were you speeding? Okay, you really shouldn't be doing that on the roads anyway. And the fact that you just won a championship, you know, could be clearly Milwaukee hasn't been used to winning, because I don't think they knew to just kind of, you know, relax and enjoy the celebration. You know, take your time driving down the roads, enjoy the fans, take it all in. And he was just speeding like he had something else to do. It's like you're going way too fast. Like, gotta take it all in, buddy. Gotta relish the moment. Enjoy the fact that you won a championship. See the screaming fans, celebrate. Not just like rush and get it over with and go home. Like, no. Enjoy moments like that. Come on. I mean, we would know in Boston, we've won so many championships. The drivers in the duck boats don't speed down the roads. Ugh. Yeah. If the Bucks do get back to the NBA Finals and win a championship next season, hopefully the team tells that driver to, you know, slow down a little bit next time. You know, just kind of don't rush. Okay, I mean, I don't know what the speed limits are for streets in Milwaukee, but clearly they're different than where I live. So, yeah. You know, in Milwaukee they actually have a statue of Fonzie. Now that I think of it, from Happy Days, it's probably the only good thing they had before they won a championship. Yeah. Yeah, Fonzie, Happy Days. Hey, how you doing? Yeah, that was a great show, Happy Days. Vern Shirley. Yeah. Yeah, Milwaukee's good for two or three things. Beer, Happy Days, and Laverne Shirley. Oh, and they have a good team in the Milwaukee Bucks, too, so that's about it. Yeah, Green Bay's got more going for them. They got the Packers and cheese and whatever. I don't know. I've never been to Wisconsin, or Wisconsin, as they say out there. But yeah, it seems like a good time. So congrats to the Milwaukee Bucks once again. Definitely deserved it. Yeah, nice to see that team grow over the season, and really over the past few years, just after they lost in the playoffs in the recent years. So I'm happy for them. Definitely deserved it. So with that, I think we'll take another break here on the show. We'll come back and we'll talk a little highlight. We'll get to our Magic City head-to-head recap of the week, and we'll get to some other stuff as well. Be right back.
You've got to plug into EPRN. We've got the conversation, we've got the sports team, and our music and entertainment team brings podcasting to extremely new heights.
Listen in to EPRN.us. Press the app button on the site and download the EPRN app now. You'll be listening to shows in no time. Take us on the go with you. Our app is accessible on all mobile devices and tablets. Or you can just go to EPRN.us.
Your listening is worth your time.
Spend your time listening to an independently owned media network.
Tell a friend and listen in.
Exquisite Podcast Radio Network, EPRN.
Sports and Stuff continues right now on Exquisite Podcast Radio Network. Hopefully you're enjoying yourself. And as we move along here, we're going to continue on by getting to our Magic City head-to-head recap of the week. So here it is. Check it out. Magic City head-to-head recap right here on Sports and Stuff.
What's up, Highlight fans and Highlight Channel viewers? It's Tanara Davis, a.k.a. Jetta, from Magic City Highlight. Hey guys, stay in tune to Magic City Highlight and also tune into weekly head-to-head recaps on Exquisite Podcast Radio Network Sports and Stuff Podcast. Right now, if you signed up to be a listener member of EPRN, you could be one of 200 lucky winners of the Magic City Highlight EarPods giveaway. So if you wanted to be one of the lucky winners, go to earpods.eprn.us. It's free to join and to enter, so do it. So take it from me, the only NFL Super Bowl champion in the world of highlight, go to earpods.eprn.us and get those earpods.
Thanks, John, and this is the Magic City Highlight recap of the week, and my name's Garland L. McLaughlin, also known as the Consulting Guy, and this marks the first week of head-to-head competition for the second season. So there's not really much of an update to give you. I'll keep you posted as the season moves along. And stay tuned in.
Miami of Hustle City, man. Anybody got more than one gig? I sell ice cream, ready to sell the CDs. One stop, boy, $20.
I have a security company, a beauty salon.
I've been doing music for a very long time.
When I was done being an NFL player, I was able to become a police officer, an actor too as well, and model.
I'm not your neighborhood Uber driver. I do luxury.
And then I have another job.
I play highline.
We in the house.
We were looking to transition from dog racing to highlight. I went to the university. I said, listen, I have this crazy idea. Do you think we could send something out to all the ex-athletes for the last 20 years and say, we're looking to hire and train highlight players?
When I first got the email, I thought it was pranking me.
I was like, what?
I need some clarity on this.
I went on YouTube and I Googled highlight.
I was like, JLA.
They paying us, man, and we can win big money.
So I'm like, okay, let me see what this is all about.
That's what you gotta do. Get some money.
The players taking the court are all athletes you may recognize.
Baseball, football, track and field.
If it's no contact in this sport, you're gonna be a piece of cake.
Whoa. Gosh,
damn. I came to watch you to land.
We knew going in, they're not gonna be great the first day.
If you're gonna come into this sport, you gotta be dedicated.
Like the Jamaicans with the bobsled team.
It's a lot of crime rate around here. That's why I always keep the Uzi with me.
Having the work, play Division I sport, and then I had a child on the way, so I dropped out.
First time getting arrested was possession with intent to sell.
The crack era was tough. Sports in general was a way out of our environment.
It's really game time now, man.
Blood, sweat, and tears.
We got the streets on fire.
This is gonna be the first time that my kids will be able to sit in an audience and root for their father.
Born and raised in Miami.
Who wants it more?
This is a sacrifice I think is gonna pay off in the end.
This is a dream for me.
I gotta win.
Can't get drama better than this.
Highlight became the new hustle.
Let's get ready to play.
All right, there you have it. There was our Magic City head-to-head recap of the week, heard only on EPRN. So I hope you enjoyed that. So I want to spend the next few minutes here talking about something that means a lot to me personally. Now, for those that are regular listeners of the program, I am a huge fan of Jeopardy. And they have a guest host this week that I'm personally really excited about, and I think a lot of other people are excited too. He's a children's television legend, hosted Reading Rainbow for over 20 years, started off on Roots originally, and then he went to Reading Rainbow, then Star Trek The Next Generation. Who am I talking about, you may ask? Well, it happens to be Mr. LeVar Burton, the great LeVar Burton. He's already made such a huge mark in television and in pop culture for the last 40 years or so, and he's guest hosting Jeopardy this week. It was the result of over hundreds of thousands of fans signing an online petition, and lots of news about him after Alex Trebek passed away as the possible successor to him. I'm personally excited about it. I'm looking forward to it this week. You know, it's interesting. LeVar Burton actually played Celebrity Jeopardy once, but way, way back in the mid-90s. I actually just watched it a little while ago on the internet, and he won. He actually won that game for his charity he was playing for. I think it was the Somalia Foundation. Won $14,500 at the time. And but it's a lot different, obviously, playing as opposed to hosting the show. I have to say, you know, the more I think about it and the more I see it and read about it, it just makes the most sense that LeVar Burton becomes the next permanent host of Jeopardy. I think of all the remaining guest hosts they have the next couple weeks, he's the one that's the most legitimate candidate, and here's why. First of all, he's a very educated gentleman, very intelligent. He stands for everything that Jeopardy has stood for so many years in terms of education and learning and literacy and enlightenment. You know, the fact that I think that he hosted Reading Rainbow as long as he did definitely, you know, gives him a lot of experience in that sort of you know, arena of education and sharing knowledge. And I think another interesting factor to think about, if he does seriously get considered, and I know he said about he's talked a little bit about this too from what I've read, is the fact that, I mean, I'll just come out and say it, that he's black, that he's African American. Now, I think that's interesting because, you know, the show has never had a permanent black host. So from his perspective, it would mean a lot for the show to go in that direction. To me, it doesn't matter what skin color someone is. I just care if they can do a good job and host it. But he definitely wants to make his mark, his presence felt, which is interesting because the show has always been more about the game and the contestants, and I don't want to say LeVar Burton makes it about him necessarily. I mean, he kind of has, you know, attracts a lot of attention toward himself in the media, which I think may have rubbed some people the wrong way, but I think he really just means well, and he just really, really wants this job so badly, and I do not blame him. I wanted it badly too, but Sony didn't, well, listen to me, so that's their problem. I'm over it now. But anyway, but no, it couldn't go to anybody that's more deserving. He's an educated scholar. He's been on TV for years between Roots and Reading Rainbow and Star Trek The Next Generation. Fine actor, fine man, lots of hosting experience. And I just love his personality. You know, he's so gentle and so kind and very positive and encouraging. I don't know if Alex Trebek would have considered him as a permanent host if he were still alive and, you know, contemplating a replacement, but I think it just makes the most sense. I mean, you to host a show like Jeopardy, you have to be a scholar. I mean, or something close to it. You have to be educated. You have to have a good amount of on-air experience and be positive and encouraging and obviously professional. And LeVar Burton has all those qualities. And what's nice is too that now that he got so much social media attention. Is he's been able to, I think he can bring in a new generation of fans to the show that were fans of his going back to his, his roots and Reading Rainbow days in Star Trek. So it would definitely continue the legacy that Jeopardy has. I think he's only going to get better with time. I mean, from what I read, his first show, he was a little nervous. But the rest of the shows during his 1 week of guest hosts, he got better. Which is good. I mean, he had never really hosted a game show before. I mean, Reading Rainbow is not a game show. It's a different kind of... It's an educational type of program, but not obviously a trivia competition. But I think he's going to do great. I'm really excited about this week. I really am. The other guest hosts they have afterwards to end the season, I don't see becoming really contenders the last 2 weeks, but this week is definitely going to be worth watching. It's going to be interesting how he hosts the show and handles the game, and how to see him kind of get comfortable. Just wish they were giving him 2 weeks instead of 1 week. But hey, I'm just glad he's there, and he's obviously glad he's there too. So interesting to see how he'll play out over the week. But like I said, if I had to pick among who would be the best candidate to host Jeopardy permanently, it would probably be LeVar Burton. The only other ones that are serious contenders at this point that have, not auditioned, but guest hosted, have been Ken Jennings, Mike Richards, Aaron Rodgers, Mayim Bialik, who did an excellent job, I thought, and Buzzy Cohen. Ken and Buzzy might be possibilities because they're Jeopardy contestants that the fans are familiar with and they know the game. But they're not hosts, they're not on-air personalities necessarily. Neither is Mayim Bialik, but she has a very educational background with science and was outstanding during her 2 weeks. Showed a lot of confidence and was very, very good. And Aaron Rodgers did a nice job as well. But I don't think he's the best choice to host Jeopardy. I think I could definitely see him hosting something, maybe after his football career ends, but I don't think it would be Jeopardy. I think I like him. I can't see him hosting Jeopardy. I think he would probably be a little better fit on another show, maybe like another talk show or a sports program, a I know Michael Strahan does, you know, the Fox pre and post game show. So he could do that maybe. I think he'd be a better fit on a pre or post game show for football or something like that. But I don't think Jeopardy would quite fit his skill set. He was good, but not quite good enough to be permanent. I wouldn't pick him if I were Sony, but yeah, I definitely, like I said, LeVar Burton's the best choice, and I'm very much looking forward to the rest of this week. I really am. It's gonna be good. So those are my thoughts on on Jeopardy. But I think, you know, but another thought I have on as well is I'm just getting tired of seeing all these guest hosts. I just wanted to pick somebody. And they will soon. I think they're going to come to a decision in the next upcoming days or couple weeks or so. Interesting when the timing of that's going to be as far as the announcement comes for the new host, because Jeopardy's already had to extend their season out 2 weeks because, for those that don't remember, over the holidays when they were airing Alex's last shows, they didn't want his last show to air on Christmas, so they showed sort of like a best of Alex Trebek for 2 weeks, and so they because of that the season's ending 2 weeks later because of those reruns. So I say this because they'll probably start taping soon, either end of July, beginning of August, but I would think they would wait till after the, you know, the season's ended and after the next couple weeks are over before they announce who the next host is going to be. I would think that's what they would do just to make sure people still watch the show and the ratings are good. Because it wouldn't make sense if they just, did it now and announced the new guest, the new permanent host, and nobody watched the last 2 weeks. But so, I would think they would wait till the end of the season. I think that's what they're going to do before they make an announcement. But it's coming. I could definitely see it coming soon, and it's going to get a lot of attention. A lot of people are going to be talking about it, including myself. But if you ask me who the next permanent host of Jeopardy should be, in my opinion, it should be LeVar Burton. Maybe in somebody else's opinion, it should be Ken Jennings or Mayim Bialik or whoever. But we'll see. It's going to be an interesting next few days for Sony as they contemplate this. So we will see. I will keep you updated. We'll take a break and wrap things up here on sports and stuff after these messages. Stay tuned.
BB Authentic Original Sportswear is the location for all of your activewear, sportswear, caps, tees, polos, and more. Do you need custom authentic bags or accessories? Look nowhere else other than BB Authentic Original Sportswear. Go to bbauthentic.com. They've got it all. Ladies, youth, and junior sizes as well. Call 626-676-8227 now for custom woven shirts and even everyday workwear. BB Authentic Original Sportswear.
Back here on Sports and Stuff, and we don't have too much more to talk about on the show this week. I will just say that the trade deadline is coming up in baseball this week. I believe it's the 30th. I think it used to be the 31st. I don't think they moved it to August 1st, unless I'm mistaken, but whatever it is. Either July 31st or August 1st will be the trade deadline. We've got the NHL free agency period starting, the NBA free agency period starting soon. It's nice to see that sports are going to actually get back to normal by the fall, with football and basketball and hockey starting at their normal times. NFL got a little stricter this past week when it comes to players or teams having to reschedule games because of COVID. Last year, with all the reshuffling they had to do, now, apparently from what I understand, any team that has players, too many players on the COVID list, will have to forfeit that game. So they're getting very tough on that. So that's going to, you know, make a difference when it comes to playoff implications. So that's one big story as far as, you know, next season for football. But like I said, it'll be nice to see baseball and, basketball and hockey, start their season in October, which is the way it should be. So that'll be good. I'm very much looking forward to that. And we hope you enjoyed the show this week here on Sports and Stuff. I want to thank you all for listening to us. If you'd like to contact me in the future or interact with me, The best way to do that is to either drop a comment or a question or anything, really, on our Sports and Stuff community group page. I'm always posting content for everybody to give their feedback on and interact with. Oh, want to mention one more thing. I almost forgot to mention this. Should have mentioned this earlier when I talked about baseball, but I'll mention it here as we end the show. The Cleveland Indians are going to change their name for next season to the Cleveland Guardians. That's interesting. I'll just say my thoughts on that. I'll just briefly here are that I think that, you know, the way that people are reacting to social issues these days and how sensitive everybody is has clearly played a factor in baseball changing the name for that team. I mean, I'll always think of them as the Indians, but I mean, they say the Guardians is more accurate for the city of Cleveland. I don't know, I'm not from Cleveland, so I can't really say if it's accurate or not, but to me, they'll always be the Indians. I mean, I don't take it personally or have any sort of offense against it, but I guess some other people do, and well, they're going to change the name because of it. They already did it for the Washington football team. They're no longer the Redskins, and they're doing the same thing for the Indians. Reminds me of locally where I am, and because I live in Franklin County up in Massachusetts, and I live one town over from Turner's Falls, and their high school mascot, their team name was the Indians, and they changed that as well. There was a lot of talk about that a couple years ago, but the same thing here for Cleveland. You know, as far as the Indians go, they're going to change their name to the Guardians. Makes you think of Guardians of the Galaxy for some reason when I think of that name, but yeah, I kind of wonder what the city of Cleveland thinks about that. I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. But so speaking of, you know, our group page, if you want to tell me what you think about that or anything else you heard on the show this week, just drop a comment or question or anything, really, on our Sports and Stuff community group page. You can also email me at redsoxwatcher0627@gmail.com. Again, that's redsoxwatcher0627@gmail.com. And feel free to download our EPRN app, where we have many other podcasts as well as Sports and Stuff. You can also download the Sports and Stuff app. I've got my own app, and there's plenty of content on there. We got all of our shows, all of our archive stuff, and some extra features as well for your listening pleasures. So be sure to download those apps. It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for listening to the show this week. We'll be back next week as we start the month of August here on Sports and Stuff with hopefully some more sports stories and a lot more entertainment. So for all of us at the show, thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great week. Keep enjoying summer. Enjoy time with friends and family. Stay safe. God bless you. So long.